get used to a quality to speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. So what I have is about 5 different positions for my arm. I have, starting off, I have my elbow up, my right elbow up, and my hand cupped near my face. So the starting position is fully covering
your nose completely.
pressed against your lips and under your nose.
So you can still speak through your nose.
You can still speak through your nose. Hand cupped against your lips. The next position is just in front, sort of just in front of your right where your eyes start to go uncross-eyed if you're focusing on your hand. Then, with your elbow still loose, not fully stretched, about a foot in front of your hand, in front of your mouth, your hand a foot in front of your mouth. Then, with your elbow full extended, still with your palm and your fingers facing your mouth. And then, with your fingertips facing forward in line with your elbow and your shoulder, as if you're pointed out in front of you with all of your fingers and your thumb up. And then I fold back, so I fold my wrist back, and I'm looking again with my elbow fully stretched out, my palm facing my mouth, then with a loose elbow, then back to that sort of tight focus of your eyes on your palm, and then against your lips again. And you just go through this sequence starting from here to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. So, starting with, I'm just going to go through these stages. So, against the lips.
To get used to the quality of speaking to yourself.
Now, just in front of your face in a sort of cross-eyed focus. To get used to the quality of speaking to yourself. Then keeping your eyes focused on your palm with a loose elbow to get used to the quality of speaking to yourself. Then fully extended, elbow outstretched with your wrist tight to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. Then with your fingers pointed forward to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. And when you're doing this, you want to look past your hand. You're looking forward and whatever is in front of you. Then back at you're looking back at the palm when your wrist bends again to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. Keep your eyes focused on your palm with a soft elbow now about a foot in front of you to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. Then very close by but not touching to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
Then against your lips and looking outward to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
Then looking again at the palm in front of you to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. Then in soft elbow, still with your eyes focused on your palm to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. Then with your elbow fully outstretched and your wrist at an angle, looking at your palm to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. Then with your fingers pointed out and yourself looking forward past your hand at whatever is in front of you to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. Then bending again, let's go through the sequence, I won't say it this time, to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
Get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. And folding back to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself. To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
To get used to a quality of speaking to yourself.
Now we're going to start from here. I'm going to just describe where you are. So with your hand against your lips, and then say it with your eyes focused and the hand right in front of you, then with a soft elbow, still looking at your palm, say it. Then saying it with your elbow outstretched, then looking in front of you with your fingers pointed forward, then folding back, looking at your palm, then coming into a soft elbow again, then getting close but not touching,
then touching,
close and not touching, soft elbow, outstretched elbow, fingers pointed, fingers folded, wrist folded, thumb up, looking at your palm, soft elbow, still looking in front, still looking at your palm, very close, almost cross-eyed,
against your lips, once more against your lips,
right in front of you, looking and speaking with a soft elbow, looking and speaking with an outstretched elbow, pointing your fingers. Now let's add in the left hand too. So, starting off now where we left off, both hands pointed forward, as if you were kind of like a Lego man. Your fingers pointed forward, looking between your hands at whatever's in front of you. Then folding both of your fingers so that your fingers are pointed towards each other. Both wrists are bent. Soft. Look in between. Now you're not looking at your right palm. You're looking between your fingers where they're almost touching. You have both soft elbows. Now coming close. Now pressing your fingertips against your mouth. And looking forward. Once more. Now with your fingers very close to each other, looking between them, to get used to a quality of speaking to yourself, but not beyond them. Now with soft elbows. Now with outstretched. Now with fingers pointing forward and seeing whatever is in front of you. And folding. And soft elbows. And very close. And pressing the lips. And pressing the lips. And very close. And soft elbows. And outstretched. And opening. And closing. And halfway. And near. And touching. And touching, and near, and halfway. Start to soften the movement, and outstretched, curling your hands a little bit more, not so sharp at the wrists, and pointing out, and pulling in, and halfway, not touching your fingers, but looking at the space right between them, and close by. And pushing, and pushing, and close by, and halfway, and outstretched, and opening, and closing, and pulling near, and pulling closer, and pressing, and pressing, and letting out, and letting out some more, and letting out a ton, and opening too, and closing, and hugging the space, and pulling it closer, and pushing it in your mouth, and pushing it in, and letting some out, and letting some out some more, and letting it out as far as it can, and then letting it go, and pulling it back in, and bringing it in, and closer by, and putting it in your mouth. Now, no longer voicing, go from the gestures of outreach, turning your fingers in, soft, close. Press. Press. Soft elbows. Open. Open. Closed. Pulling towards you. Press. Press. Halfway. Close by. Halfway. Far. Open. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four, three, two, open, closed, three, four, Now the same, just doing the gestures and without speaking. So start with your hands out. Your hands, your palms are parallel to each other, pointing out, you're looking forward. First, second, with your fingers pointed towards each other, you looking between them. Third, halfway. Fourth, close by. Fifth, pressing. Fifth again. Fourth. Third. Second, first, first, second, third, fourth, fifth.
From whatever side one approaches things, the ultimate problem turns out in the final analysis to be that of distinction. Distinctions between the real and the imaginary, between waking and sleeping, between ignorance and knowledge, etc. All of them, in short, distinctions in which valid consideration must demonstrate a keen awareness and the demand for resolution. Among distinctions, there is assuredly none more clear-cut than that between the organism and its surroundings. It is a real temptation by space.
A what?
It is a real temptation by space.
A temptation?
Yeah. It is a real temptation by space. So-called protective coverings contribute to the same end. The larvae of mayflies fashion a sheath for themselves with twigs and gravel. Spider crabs haphazardly gather and collect in their shells the seaweed and polyps of the milieu in which they live. They deck themselves in whatever is offered to them. From the moment when it can no longer be a process of defense, mimicry can be nothing else but this, a disturbance in the perception of space.
Wow. The blue through the
between the trees.
It's like the sky, but it's not.
Yeah, you can't tell. It's like the sky below. This is not your secret spot. Your secret spot was on the beach.
Oh, it's in the ocean.
This looks like camp. Well, that just seems like maybe a path off to the side, straight to the water.
But then you are by the water too, to the camp.
Well, that's it. Oh, really? I think that we go this way. Yeah? Yeah, I think that's an overdone entrance to the water. Maybe a very secret one. It's amazing how different the... Huh? What is that?
Stuck on your hair.
Yeah. That's making a mess. Is it like different property entrances?
Yeah, we should
find
it. Okay, let's do something else towards being more sympathetic. So go through one more round of the gestures we were doing before, starting from your hands out with your fingertips forward, both hands straight out, thumbs up, your fingers, your wrists, your elbows, your shoulders aligned, and go through these five gestures, out, fingers pointed in at each other, loose elbows pointed out a little bit closer, your eyes looking between your fingers, then pressing against your lips. And now, with your fingers pressed against your lips, rotate your thumbs, place your thumbs just below your ears, and now rotate with your elbows out, pointed out. Rotate your other fingers up towards the top of your forehead, keeping your thumbs below your ears, and back, keep rotating until your fingertips, your other fingertips besides your thumb, rest on the little sort of divot, the little ramp up on the back of your skull. And with your elbows out, and your thumbs gently touching underneath on that sensitive part just between your jaw and your ears, lift your head up and lift yourself to a standing position. Now standing, you can put your hands down, your arms down, and let your gaze just drift up the room that you're in or the space that you're in. And just look along the top of all of the walls. Trace with your eyes the perimeter of the room on the very top of the walls. Let's start by turning to the right. Trace your eyes at all the contours of the top of the wall and the ceiling, all the way around and around and around until you're facing again. Now let's do the same. Turning to the left, trace slowly, your eyes focused on the line, hitting a corner, again hitting another corner, and then maybe there's a little soffit or something, hitting many corners, then along a line, hitting a corner, along a line, then maybe there's another bump or something, two or three corners, And then along a line back to facing forward as you were before. Now we're going to start again going, turning to the right, so opposite that we just went. But this time you're going to take a deep breath in, and on your breath out, so hold on 1 second, on your breath out, you're going to breathe towards that line. And I want you to try to do it, you're going to move a little bit faster turning around, you're going to try to do it in one breath. So you breathe in, and you're going to trace the perimeter of the room. And by the time you've turned around, you've totally evacuated all air that you had. So try to adjust your pace. We're going to do it again. Now turning left, you're going to take one big deep breath in and out along that whole perimeter. Let your breath come back in. Now take another deep breath in, and you're going to trace the perimeter going to the right. We're blowing into the corners.
Assimilation to the surroundings. Assimilation to the surroundings.
And along the lines. Rest for a second. Now this time I really want you to focus on thinking of your breath as drawing that line, as drawing the contours, the difference between the wall and the ceiling all around the room that you're in. So you're drawing that space, you're drawing that line and the way it hits corners on this one extension of breath. Breathe in. Once again, going left, take a loose breath first, and a deep breath in. And relax for a second. And now here, this time, instead of going all the way around in that totally exhaustive breath, you're going to start by pick one corner, one place where two walls meet, and two walls are meeting the ceiling. So focus on one corner. And starting at that corner, we're just going to work from corner to corner, as if we're just drawing these different line segments that make up our room, or make up the perimeter of our room. So starting from one corner, we're going to take a deep breath in, and we're going to breathe out and just draw that line to the next corner. Then we'll take a break, a breath in again, and a breath out to draw however long that next line segment is. A breath in, and draw another line. A breath in, and breathe out and draw another line. So starting at one corner, one very clear corner. And breathe in. If it's shorter, your breath is shorter. And breathe in. And breathe in. And breathe in, just corner to corner. And breathe in, and just corner to corner. And maybe now you need one more breath, or you're back where we started. Let's do once more, going in the other direction. So we're just drawing the perimeter from corner to corner on each breath. With each breath, you're blowing out and drawing that line. If you're the same as me, you're back at your place, or you maybe need one more, or one less. Okay, now let's do the opposite of drawing. Let's think about our breath. When we breathe out, we're going to do the same thing of going from corner to corner. But this time, when we're breathing out, we're not drawing the line. The line is there. We can see the line. Our breath out is going to blur the line. We're getting rid of the line. We're erasing the line with each breath from corner to corner. So imagine with your breath, you're rubbing out these contours. You're rubbing out the perimeter of your room. Breath in from corner. I'm going left. You can go either way. Next corner. Rubbing out each contour. Next breath. Next breath. Next breath, erasing that contour. And last breath for me. Rubbing out this last line that's left in my room. And now that you're in a loose space, I want you to close your eyes. And we're going to do the same as we were doing before in drawing up the room, drawing out the contours of the room. With our breath, I want you to face some direction, and instead of seeing the corner, with your eyes closed, I want you to imagine a corner, some corner between two meeting walls and a ceiling. And at that corner, I want you to breathe in and out and turn somewhere, drawing a line of some length. That line is in my space. The line I breathe in my breath out is in your space. You're going to continue to draw on the next breaths my room, and I'll continue to draw in my next breaths your room. So let's make a full rotation. And breathe in to draw the next line. And breathe in to draw another line of any shape. And breathe in and turn to draw the next line. You still have your eyes closed, and you're still drawing my space, and I'm drawing yours. And settle for a second at this new corner. And again, turning in the opposite direction, instead of drawing, you're going to erase again this room that you drew, my room. And I'm going to erase the contours of your room with my breath. I'm going to blur out with each
breath, the contours of your room. Turning left now. With your eyes closed. Blowing out like a candle each line.
Mimicry would thus be accurately defined as an incantation fixed at its culminating point, and having caught the sorcerer in his own trap.
This trail is so interesting because, like, when you go all the way around, it's so, like, changes, like, a different world.
Really?
Yeah.
You went all the way around.
Yeah. It's like 8 miles.
Wowee. Right. Oh yeah, that doesn't look very fun. Right there. Get over. Very dry?
No,
maybe I had cold. I'm happy I brought my pen.
Incantation?
Incantation. This is the prosciutto ceremony. Huh? Come on.
The drama becomes specific, since the living creature, the organism, is no longer the origin of coordinates, but one point among others. It is dispossessed of its privilege and literally no longer knows where to place itself. Hyperspace, abstract, generalized, open and closed spaces, spaces dense in themselves, thinned out, and so on. The feeling of personality, considered as the organism's feeling of distinction from its surroundings, of the connection between consciousness and a particular point in space, cannot fail under these conditions to be seriously undermined. One then enters into the psychology of psychasthenia, and more specifically of legendary psychasthenia, if we agree to use this name for the disturbance in the above relations between personality and space.
Your feet are in water. You can feel the small bead of the meniscus around your ankles. You reach down, bending your back, and you pat the very top of the water with your palms, just resting them. And you feel a little ripple oscillating, waving on the edges of your ankles, around your skin. You come back up. Your feet are in mud. The water is thickened. You bend down and rest your hands on the cold of the mud. Rest your palms over it. It warms in the center of your palm.
Your fingers are floating in the thick mud. You pat it. And you feel a small jiggle on the top side of your feet. You come back up. Your feet are in concrete. It's set. Your ankle deep. You bend down. And you hit with your fist.
The invariable response concrete. To the question, where are you? I know where I am, but I do not feel as though I'm at the spot where I find myself.
Around your toes.
To these dispossessed souls, space seems to be a devouring force. Space pursues them, encircles them, digests them. It ends by replacing them. Then the body separates itself from thought. The individual breaks the boundary of his skin and occupies the other side of his senses. He tries to look at himself from any point whatever in space. He feels himself becoming space, dark space where things cannot be put. He is similar, not similar to something, but just similar. And he invents spaces of which he is the convulsive possession.
Your feet are in concrete. It's set. Your ankle deep. You bend down. And you hit with your fist the concrete. And you feel the shaking and the tightening around your toes on the underside of your arch. You feel this tightening. You come back up. Now you decide what your feet are in. Your feet are in. You bend down. You pressed your fingertips on it. What does it feel like on your ankles? What does it feel like on your pinky toes? You tap it back and forth with your left and right finger. You click it with your fingers. Come back up. Decide again what your feet are in. Your feet are in. You bend down towards that. You run your palms along its surface. You feel it in that way on the outside of your thumbs. You run your hands between your legs and feel it continuing all around. As you rub it, you feel a certain thing on your feet. And that certain thing changes in a certain way as you continue to rub in different places. You come back up. You decide again what your feet are in. Your feet are in. You bend down towards that. You run your knuckles along its contours. Finding the little ridge that goes over to the side. On its left side, or your left side. On its right side, or your right side. passing your knuckles along its dull edge, and feeling from your feet what resonance is carrying through. Where is it in particular making some kind of small vibration? How do you feel it in your veins? And not so particularly. You come up. You decide again what your feet are in.
What mimicry achieves morphologically in certain animal species is depersonalization by assimilation to space. This assimilation to space is necessarily accompanied by a decline in the feeling of personality and life. The animal mimics the plant, leaf, flower, or thorn, and disassembles or ceases to perform its functions in relation to others. Life takes a step backwards.
Your feet are in, and so you bend down towards it. You run your fingernails across from side to side, both left and right hand. From your left side, you run your fingernails across. Above your toes, above the back side or the top side of your feet, and behind you, from right to left, turning around your body, you run your fingernails along and tracing now in a figure eight, passing between finger and hand, around your ankles, as if you're rolling a ball that's chasing your own palm. And you come back up. You decide again what your feet are in. Go down to that. You take both hands and you wrap them around. You wrap them around near your right foot and you lift up. And you see what in particular, how in particular your foot moves. You come up a little bit and you go down to your left and you lift up again. And your foot moves with it. How does it move? Does it move with delay? Does it move to the same point? And you let go and you come up. And you decide again what your feet are in. And you go down and you meet it a little sooner. It's up near your knees. And this time you wrap your forearms around it. And you press with your forearms on its sides. And you run your forearms around it, finding its shape, seeing how when you're hugging it, it's hugging you. How your thighs are loose, but your calves are tight. And you come back up and you decide again what your feet are in. And you bend down, now stuck between the midst of your thighs, and you run your palms over its surface. Maybe it's soft surface that you can push. And how still, in pushing, you might feel something in your toes. And you push some of it aside to see if you can get deeper towards your knees. And you push some aside on your right knee. And you see your knee for a second, and then it disappears. It caves in on itself.
Among others in literature, Gustave Flaubert seems to have understood the meaning of the phenomenon when he ends the Temptation of St. Anthony with a general spectacle of mimicry to which the hermit succumbs. Plants are now no longer distinguished from animals. Insects identical with rose petals adorn a bush. And then plants are confused with stones. Rocks look like brains, stalactites like breasts, veins of iron like tapestries adorned with figures. In thus seeing the three realms of nature merging into each other, Anthony in his turn suffers the lure of material space. He wants to split himself thoroughly, to be in everything, to penetrate each atom, to descend to the bottom of matter, to be matter. The generalization of space at the expense of the individual.
And you let it be and you come back up. And you decide again what your legs are in. And you bend down and you're stopped by hitting your head. You're stopped at your waist. And you run your elbows and your hands around and you see where it's touching the crest of your back, the top of your butt. And you send your hands out and make a large circle to find its extents. And you come back up. And you decide again from your waist up what you're in. And you bend a little bit. And you feel it pushing on all sides around your belly button. And you feel how your abs can move differently above and below that point. And you feel the tight circumference it makes. Or maybe it's loose. Maybe it's loose, and if you move your hips from side to side, you get a little gap in the place that you move from. Maybe that gap fills up. And you bring up your neck and you stand tall and you decide again what your waist down is in.
It merely suggests that alongside the instinct of self-preservation, which in some way orients the creature towards life, there is a sort of instinct of renunciation that orients it towards a mode of reduced existence. Okay. This attraction by space, and by the effect which life seems to lose ground, blurring in its retreat the frontier between the organism and the milieu, and expanding to the same degree the limits within which, according to Pythagoras, we are allowed to know, as we should, that nature is everywhere the same.
Glisten as we go in and so blue. The air is sweet and steady, and flowers bloom out of sight. I know the sky is ready. Will the corn be growing a little tonight as I wait in the fields for you? Who knows what grows in the morning light, as we can feel the